The reality is that waiting is a part of everyday life. In fact, research says that the average UK person spends at least 3 years of their lives waiting, and none more so than at Christmas. You know, as kids, we wait for the school term to end, don't we? And for the school holidays to begin, those Christmas holidays. As adults, perhaps we wait in line to pay for all of those Christmas gifts we've got. We wait in traffic jams. We wait for the family to arrive. We wait for the Christmas dinner to be ready. We wait for that moment when we can finally unwrap all of those presents that we've been bought. You know, waiting is a part of everyday life, isn't it? Especially at this time of year. And yet it's often very much viewed negatively. In fact, when you think about it, every advance in technology has been designed in order to speed things up and to save us time. You know, as a human race, it seems that we just hate to wait. We want things now, don't we? And that's why we've invented things like instant coffee and credit cards and microwaves. So often nowadays it's thought of as a bad thing to have to wait for something. And we have to admit, don't we, that sometimes it can be pretty frustrating to have to wait. And yet it can also be a very good thing, especially where God is concerned. In fact, you know, God sometimes makes us wait for our own good. And that's quite countercultural, isn't it? It's not something that we're used to in our lives. And this morning I want to think about briefly a man who God made wait. Now, if you've been with us over these last four Sundays, and I recognise that some of us might not have been, but if you have, we've been looking at the very first Christmas songs that are found in the Bible. We've looked at Mary's song, we've had taken a look at Zechariah's song and the angel's song. And today, on Christmas Day itself, we've reached the final song. And that song is of a man called Simeon. So I just want us to take a moment to read this part of the Christmas story, which is found in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to commence reading at verse 22, and it's up on the screen. So you don't have to find a Bible if you don't want to. Luke chapter 2, there we read. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, having read that passage, I suppose we still don't really know a whole lot about Simeon. After all, it was a pretty common name at the time. Here's a picture of what he might have looked like. That's a modern picture. There he is on the far side, the guy with the big beard. But we don't really know a lot about him. What we do know is that he lived in Jerusalem. And he was clearly a man who loved God and he listened to God because he was waiting for God to reveal his son to him. We read there, didn't we, that that Simeon took God seriously, that he believed that promise that had been made to him, that he wouldn't die before he had seen God's son. And so, this wasn't some kind of wishful thinking. This was a promise that had been made to him. He wasn't kind of crossing his fingers with his arm behind his back like we might do, waiting for perhaps lottery numbers or something like that to come up. No, this was a promise that Simeon could be absolutely 100% certain about. He could be certain that what God had told him would come true, that he would meet God's Messiah face to face. And God had given him his word. And when God gives us his word, then we can believe that that will happen. The truth is that God, down through the century, the God of the Bible has an unblemished record in keeping promises. For instance, we read of over 350 promises that were made about Jesus 700 years before he even came. 350 promises in the Bible about Jesus, about his life, his death, and his resurrection. And each one of them was fulfilled when Jesus came to earth. In other words, we can trust God's word. And trusting God as he does, Simeon has waited for many, many years for this promise to come true. And then one day, as he's sitting there in the temple courts, having been prompted to go there by the Holy Spirit, a young couple walk in and they've got this baby in their arms. And you know, he just knows that this is the moment that he's been waiting for. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us have said some rather daft things when we've seen a newborn baby for the first time. We might have said things like, oh, hasn't he got his mother's nose? Or something like, oh, hasn't she got a lot of hair? Or maybe we say daft things to the parents like, are you getting much sleep at the moment? Or things like, you know, it does get better. It does get better, which is really misleading, isn't it? No, apparently it really does get better, or so I'm told. I don't know, I haven't reached that point yet. But you know, Simeon, unlike us, he doesn't fumble around for the right words to use, does he? Instead, taking Jesus into his arms, he says these words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You know, for Simeon, the waiting was over. God had kept his promise, a promise that had been made thousands of years earlier, in fact, right back at the very beginning of creation when Adam and Eve first did wrong, when they first sinned and disobeyed God. And yet now, finally, at this point in history, after all of these years of waiting, God sent his son to be our saviour. He sent his son to be the saviour of every man, woman and child who would repent and believe. And Simeon was one of the very first people to recognise that fact and welcome Jesus into his life. And now at last, Simeon could die in peace. He could die a happy man because he had made his peace with God. You know, that begs the question, doesn't it? What about us? We need to ask ourselves, don't we? Do I know Jesus personally as my Lord and Saviour? Or perhaps we're still waiting. You know, if you are waiting, then we need to say, well, what are we waiting for? Because as we see, Jesus has already come. And what's more, he's done everything that's needed in order to save us. Simeon goes on to explain to Mary, Jesus' mother, there in 34, that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. You know, in saying these things, not only was Simeon announcing the salvation that Jesus would bring, but he was also pointing and hinting at the cost that there would be in doing that, the cost that there would be in bringing about this salvation. You know, Simeon was pointing ahead from Christmas to Easter, to a time 33 years later when Jesus would be buried, and then he would rise again in order to pay that debt that each one of us owes because of our rejection of God. Once again, Simeon understood exactly why Jesus had been born. He had been born that we might have a life. And you know, having met his Saviour personally, he was now very much ready to meet his Creator. The question is, are we ready like Simeon was?